by Members First Credit Union, created by the community for the community. Members First is a member-owned, not-for-profit financial institution providing checking, savings, loans, and credit cards to residents of Butte, Glen, Shasta, and Tehama counties. For more information, visit m1cu.org. Music by bensounds.com. Remember that the most important aspect of democracy is an informed citizenry. Tune in again next week and stay informed about what your government is doing. And if you have a tip, send an email to sue@kzfr.org. Stay tuned for Chico News and Review on the Radio with Jason Cassidy.
It's Thursday, time for the Chico News and Review, local news and arts from Butte County's community newspaper on the radio. Hey, happy Thursday, Butte County. Jason Cassidy here, interim editor of the Chico News and Review. Thanks for tuning into the show. We are here every Thursday, 5:30 p.m., right after the Butte Report with Sue Hildebrand on the Zephyr, KZFR 90.1 FM, and KZFR.org. It's print issue day. Woohoo! The February edition of the CNR's physical publication is on stands starting today, February 11th. Our cover feature for this issue is Death by Homelessness, and the bulk of today's show will be a conversation with writer Ken Smith on his story about those living and dying on Chico streets. But before that, a few news briefs. First, an update on the city's homeless shelter efforts. During its February 2nd meeting, the Chico City Council boosted the continued efforts of the Chico Housing Action Team, or CHAT, to provide shelter for unhoused individuals. The council approved $282,933 of Community Development Block Grant coronavirus funding for CHAT, which hopes to develop the townhouse motel on the Esplanade into a non-congregate shelter with up to 30 units. The council also decided to continue exploring turning city-owned property near the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds, currently home to Silver Dollar BMX, into a sanctioned camping area. The panel rejected, 5-2 along party lines, a safe car park proposal by a group called North State Shelter Team that would allow those living in automobiles to spend the night in designated lots. Butte County is seeking assists for COVID and the climate. Public Health is recruiting volunteers to help vaccinate the community against COVID-19. Licensed healthcare professionals and people without medical training can register through the Disaster Healthcare Volunteer Program at healthcarevolunteers.ca.gov. Select Butte County. Public Health will deploy volunteers at its vaccination clinics over the next several months. Meanwhile, the county's planning division will host the first public workshop for updating the Butte County Climate Action Plan next Thursday, February 18th at 5:30 p.m. via Zoom. The plan, adopted in 2014, identifies ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to meet targets established by state law. Visit the planning division at buttecounty.net to register for the workshop and learn more about the Climate Action Plan. Finally, former local boy Aaron Rodgers, the one-time Pleasant Valley High School and Butte College football star, and current NFL quarterback, who was just announced league MVP for the Green Bay Packers, has donated $500,000 to the newly formed Aaron Rodgers Small Business COVID-19 Fund. A partnership with North Valley Community Foundation, which also contributed another $100,000 to the pot, the fund will be used for grants to local businesses that have fewer than 20 full-time employees and are suffering financially due to impacts from the coronavirus pandemic. In an announcement via Instagram video on February 3rd, Rodgers said, "This is to get people through. People are in need right now, and who knows how long we have to save these businesses." Visit nvcf.org for information on requirements and how to apply. Over the past 8 months, 18 people from Chico's homeless community have died. It's a sobering reality that has gotten lost amid local noise surrounding encampments and a lack of shelter options during the COVID-19 pandemic. Writer Ken Smith has interviewed city and county officials and local service providers to try and get a more clear picture of what the human toll of living on Chico's streets has been, and in his feature, Death by Homelessness, in this week's CNR print edition, he puts a face on those who are too often left out of the conversation.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Jason.
In your story, you start off by illustrating the mood in our community right now regarding homelessness. And you put the reader at the site of the triangle encampment sweeps last week, which you point to as kind of a figurative wedge where opposing views played out. What are the conflicting ideas at play in Chico when it comes to unhousing, and who's behind those ideas?
It's definitely a real heated issue, and it's kind of really divided the community to a large degree. I think we've all seen. And on one hand, you have kind of the new conservative council and, some interests in town who are just kind of all about getting rid of or at least making the homeless problem kind of just out of the public eye. And then you have people who want to approach it from a compassionate way, look for actual solutions to issues and concerns about housing these folks.
So, and after you set it up, you shift things to what the real focus of your feature is, which is the ultimate toll paid by those with no housing options and who are sort of like the innocent victims to this whole mess. And you point out the death of a homeless man named Eric Euler last December on the steps of a church just 3 blocks from the triangle. And in your words, you call it a somber reminder of the real consequences at stake in this war on homelessness. Who was Mr. Euler, and what were the circumstances around his death?
Mr. Euler was a well-known member of the homeless community, known to both people who work with the community and people who are homeless themselves. By most accounts, good sense of humor, kind of an easygoing guy, had a drinking problem. Speaking to Sienna, she mentioned that he at one point desperately wanted to get into Project Room Key. He was like, can I just get in for like 3 days so I can drink less and kind of get cleaned up? And unfortunately, that's not how that program works. And that wasn't just a possibility at the time. And so he eventually on December 13th was actually found in the middle of the day on the porch of the local Quaker church, or Chico Friends meeting, as they're also known. And his cause of death is actually still pending an autopsy by the Butte County coroner. In approaching the story, it resonated and it really tied things together. And the proximity to the triangle.
Sure.
Where, I was just earlier that week covering the sweeps and seeing police and city staff, telling people, you have 15 minutes to move that. Or, talking about voluntary compliance when, your choices are you comply or you're arrested or cited, which sounds a bit more like, if anybody but police went around doing that, they'd call it coercion or harassment. And if you just look at, I really wanted to bring, I guess, just in all my reporting on homelessness, which I've done, off and on for a decade now, a lot of it, people focus on policy and, what city leaders are doing and this and that and the anger from certain sides and everything. But I really just wanted to spend some time, focusing on the fact that this is a life and death issue. People are literally dying on the streets of the supposedly richest and supposedly most compassionate society in the world. And it's tragic. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's safe to say most people don't know just how difficult it is to spend your life living on the streets. And You mentioned her already, but one of the people you interviewed for your story, Sianna Sonokwe, she's a longtime advocate and one of the leaders at Safe Space Winter Shelter. She offered some sobering insight, and we have a clip here. Let's listen to Sianna here for a second.
You know, having a house is a basic need, right? I mean, and you can't thrive or get any better without having that foundational thing. And all security and all things can come from that foundational safety of having a house. And when people don't have houses or a place to live that's safe, it's just constant toxic stress. And so many things exacerbate and happen and because of that, many things are exacerbated, many things that people like you and I can smooth over in our lives because we can go home, refuel, grieve. It just compounds when you're homeless. And I think that from all the people that have, you know, died, it's just like, I mean, I don't even know, Ken. It's just so alarming how much it happens and how sick people truly are, like physically ill somebody can be and still be alive on the streets. That is beyond me. How, like, what somebody can go through and still be on the streets alive. Like, how do you even make it through your day?
Exposure, you know, and substance abuse disorders are, you know, we usually hear about those as causes of death when things are reported. But as Sonokwe points out, living without a roof is, it's all encompassing, difficult, and it's painful existence that, you know, impacts all parts of one's life. What are some other potential causes of death directly or indirectly tied to being homeless?
Yeah, well, really, like she said, it just exacerbates every issue. Addiction being one, exposure to the elements usually coinciding with, you know, a lot of these people are sick. They don't get proper medical treatment. They don't, I mean, a lot of Americans in general are sick and suffer through lack of insurance or proper medical care. And here you have people who, you know, that's not even an option to get regular checkups and this and that. And who, you know, are diagnosed with things that they can't address. And then you have other issues like addiction is one that compounds it, and also mental health, where, you know, some of these people are even incapable of addressing their larger health needs. So it's really hard on a person's health. I mean, I've talked to, you know, there's kind of a mantra of certain social workers that said, you know, if you don't suffer from mental illness when you become homeless, then eventually you will. I mean, mental health is jeopardized. Physical health, it's apparent how many ways that can be affected. Lack of care for either of those problems or outreach. When it comes to addiction, Chico doesn't have a detox center for these folks. Chico doesn't have services available. We banned a needle exchange program that, you know, would refer people to help for addiction issues, and specifically had strong links to the homeless community. It's just like, and then there's also just, there's going back to kind of the differing viewpoints. There's even people who, I mean, you can go to a handful of Facebook groups that are Chico-centric and see people talking about, well, maybe they should die, you know, like, I mean, you can see people publicly posting that beneath their name. And especially when it comes to people who die of overdose. And just my feelings about that are, you know, housed people are suffering from addiction and overdose at record numbers. So we have an opioid crisis. And then some same people who are recognize that and, you know, want to see that treated, hear about homeless people dying of overdose and think, well, it's their life choices. They made those decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just this vilification and You know, another cause is, you know, there's also violence in the homeless community. I mean, you know, there's nobody saying that, you know, all homeless people are saints. And but I think, you know, most advocates believe that all human beings have a right to fundamental needs in life.
For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Chico News and Review Show on KZFR. And we're talking to writer Ken Smith about his just published story, Death by Homelessness.
And, you know, you do a great job in kind of spelling out and putting a face on a lot of the people who have passed away. And you know, there's a number in your story of 18 deaths that we know of, but we don't really know the extent of the issue, do we?
No, not at all. And I think that it's impossible to quantify, which I think is in itself a systemic failure. You know, researching this story and other stories, you see, you know, news reports from some counties who do a pretty good job of, like, for example, there's multiple news reports fairly current about Orange County, California, yeah. Having by far more homeless deaths in their homeless community than ever before. And it's just here, there's no agency responsible. In most places, there's no agency keeping those numbers. You have Chico police who sometimes report deaths in public, sometimes they don't. I inquired what their kind of criteria is for that. Not really any straight answer other than, well, certain cases get handed off to the sheriff's office right away. So, I mean, to even try to get a snapshot, you'd have to talk to police sheriffs from every jurisdiction in Butte County. You have people dying at the hospital. The coroner, there was two people mentioned in the story who I don't include in the count of 18 because when I spoke to the coroner, she said, well, I can't confirm their housing status because they had Chico addresses. Well, a lot of homeless people have addresses. I mean, it's literally impossible to function to any degree or get any help without at least that. So, I mean, but this was one man who, you know, died in an actual, like in a, who died out, you know, very near the homeless camps in the channel, in Lindo Channel. So, I mean, you know, by all chances, they were a part of the bigger number. And then this is just Chico, not even all of Butte County.
Sure.
So this was never meant to be a total count of just how bad this is. This is just like what I could get from my own research and tracking and confirm. I mean, because I have others that I wasn't able to confirm either. And then also from information from Siana and other people who help provide services. But then again, even they only know a certain subset of the population that seek out services and that, you know, have stayed at safe space. And, you know, by nature, the homeless community, a lot of people don't engage in any way. Also, nobody knows what happens to people. I mean, people disappear all the time. And, you know, maybe they did die and nobody even knows because there was no public announcement. There's, you know, they died in the hospital. Nobody knows. Maybe their family shows up at the end of life and, you know, so people just disappear all the time. And there was one touching story that I came across while reporting for this story about Jared Gray, who was actually another, at least to people who work downtown and stuff, was another well-known person. Young, I believe he was 27, not too long ago, he was seen, you know, suffering from what appeared to be an overdose in at the Arco on West 9th, and you know, several witnesses said he was unresponsive by the time the ambulance got there and took him away. Well, I mean, even among homeless advocates, it was, hey, did you hear Truly died? Oh, I'm not sure. Did he? Like, or, oh, no, I heard he didn't. So even among people who had knew this person and had interacted with him for a long time, some people weren't sure that he died or, you know, just recently heard it. You know, he's memorialized on the, another thing that the reason that I bring up him, he was known as Truly. Was also known as Jared and Tony and, other things that, you know, so, you know, nobody was even certain in my first round of talking to people that his name was Jared Gray. I had to confirm it through the coroner's office. Wow.
Well, in the piece, you talk about a handful of different people, and you share their personal stories and what happened to them, including James Wedge. Who was James Wedge?
James was a man who died on the 4th of July over Tekert Ponds. Again, no press release about his death, no mention, really. So the cause of death was pretty much immediately determined as suicide. He had a homemade kind of a bundle of a fishing line and other plastic wire fastened around his neck. I went to the site with Sienna just days afterwards and saw it. And I mean, the implement of his death was cut from the line was cut from the tree that he was connected to and just thrown on the ground. Partly why it was ruled a suicide was because of a note found at the scene. It said something to the effect that James is done. Well, James was also diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia and was, had paranoid tendencies and in incidents. And so a lot of things just don't add up there.
And he wasn't that old of a man. He was fairly young, and he was kind of a friend to a lot of people in the homeless advocacy community.
Yeah, absolutely, which is, I think, part of the reason, well, in speaking to Sienna, why that was so affected her so deeply. Her in particular, she says, I've worked with, so many people on the streets or in my personal life who has passed away, but it's just, it really affected her. He was a friend. She has a million stories about times they spent together, times when he would help her, like when she went out looking for people to house or do outreach. He'd jump in the car and say, hey, we got to go help out these people.
For more on this story, find Death by Homelessness in the latest print edition of the CNR or online at chico.newsreview.com. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Chico News and Review Show on KZFR 90.1 FM. We are still months away from returning to most in-person arts, entertainment, and other public events, but local groups are getting the hang of offering alternative, usually virtual, ways to experience this community. And the calendar for February is starting to fill up, with a wide range of offerings starting with Valentine's weekend.
I got a question. You guys know so much about women. How come you're here at like a gas and sip on a Saturday night completely alone drinking beers? No women anywhere.
By choice, man.
That's yeah, right, man. It's a conscious choice.
It's a choice, man.
Choosing to be here.
I don't want to be here, man.
I'm choosing it.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with spending your Valentine's Day down at the gas and sip, sitting out front and drinking with your friends by choice, of course. But even with dining rooms and other romantic options closed during the pandemic, there are still a few ways to have a date. Over at Miriam Park Drive-In, they're offering prime, old-fashioned makeout opportunities in the privacy of one's own car with films all weekend long, including on Valentine's Day, the late 80s classic Say Anything. Visit miriampark.com/drive-in for more information. And Secret Trail Brewing Company is hosting a socially distant romantic concert on its patio on the 14th with local music couple The Bidwells. There are also a couple of opportunities to get creative that this Valentine's Day weekend with a love-themed paint and sip hosted by Sienna Joy at the Lab on February 11th and a Galentine's Day vase painting event and Humane Society fundraiser at Chico Marketplace on February 13th. Let's go. February is Black History Month, and several groups over at Chico State, and they've put together a month-long calendar of virtual offerings to celebrate, including a spoken word performance tonight with Brandon Leake, winner of America's Got Talent, a great poet. Let's hear a little snippet from Brandon Leake.
We're talking about the black boy, the one who stood at the park playing a game with that fake peace, but instead that peace officer came and shared his peace. And now I know all the things in which his mother feels is not peace. Now she is broken into pieces like a jigsaw, but she'll never be whole again, knowing that her son will never be able to fill that part in her whole again. And I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. This isn't the story that I promised you guys. I said that we would talk about the story of the police officer and the black man, when the black man did not die. The police officer came in peace instead of coming with his peace. And I guess I'm not fully remembering the black woman in this story either. The idea that Sandra Bland had a family who will never see her again, that Breonna Taylor's justice got left back, and now it's just us trying to pick up the pieces, because at the end of the day, those police officers did not come in peace, but they came in peace, and now I'm here left in pieces, just trying to figure out how I'm supposed to pick up these pieces, piece myself back together again. I'm sorry, I know this isn't the story I promised you all, but it's the only one I got.
You can find the whole Black History Month calendar at csuchico.edu/diversity/BHM. Some of the other stuff that's on tap, February 15th, The Struggle for Social Justice in Butte County. February 18th, Mr. Soul, a film and discussion. On February 24th, Black Persistence and Success webinar. February 24th, also on February 24th, Fannie Lou Hamer film discussion. And on February 25th, CCLC's Got Talent. And February 25th, also, Black Student Union presents Our Story, African Cultures and Traditions. Janet Turner Print Museum has a new exhibit online right now, Social Commentary, Prints, and Politics, a virtual exhibition that explores the intersection of printmaking and politics and features a 360-degree video of the entire exhibit. Go to csuchico.edu/Turner to check it out. And Chico Art Center just put up a new online show, Unbound, the Altered Book, a juried exhibition of works by artists who have taken a book and transformed its original state or meaning. You can go to chicoartcenter.com to see that and other shows. And The Pageant. The Pageant Theater is closed, and it has been during the whole pandemic, but you can still see films, the kind of films that they bring to town, via their virtual screening room. Visit the theater website for current offerings at pageantchico.com. Chico News and Review is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Bruce Jenkins Insurance, a retirement advisor offering Medicare assistance, including prescription drug and supplement plans, Social Security maximization, retirement income planning, and life insurance. You can reach Bruce Jenkins Insurance at 530-781-3592 or visit brucejenkinsinsurance.com. And by Quicksilver Courier Service. Established in 2010, Quicksilver Courier Service has the flexibility to provide a broad range of delivery services. Quicksilver provides courier service for private individuals, as well as for legal, medical, and business professionals. Visit chicocourier.com for quality 24/7 delivery service. Thanks again for tuning in to the Chico News and Review, and thank you, of course, to KZFR 90.1 FM for hosting us each Thursday at 5:30 p.m. And as always, thank you to Cat Depot for our theme music that opens and closes this show. And remember, the February print edition of the CNR is on stands today. Find it in newspaper racks all over Butte County. And of course, find the digital version at chico.newsreview.com. Take care.